Please, please tell me something good. Each week, a wee parade of horribles, but we always end it on an up note with my good friend here at Civic Media and your friend too, Terry Barr, for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Before I bring Terry on, I promised you another couple of tickets for the Brewers. This is for the game on April 19th. Plenty of time to plan your schedules around it. First pitch at 6:10. They're playing the Oakland A's. You're going to win two of the club level tickets that Civic Media has to this fantastic game. There's pretty much no better seats in the house, in my opinion. Here is your trivia question. If you want to win, you have to have the MLB ballpark app. We do not have hard copy tickets. We transfer them to you using your email address that you use to sign up for the MLB ballpark app. Okay, here's your second trivia question. If you want to win, you got to get it right. You got to call in, and Cal's going to get your email, and we'll transfer you over those tickets. Here's your second question to win those two tickets on April 19th. The Brewers in 1982, we were talking about the 82 Brewers before with our special guest, Marty Ronsky, the COO of the Milwaukee Brewers. Great run in 1982. No problem scoring. What Brewer crossed home plate the most times in 1982?
Ooh.
Right? So you got it, like, nerdy baseball. You got to think about the lineup, which can lead you to the answer to this question. Who crossed home plate the most times in 1982 for the Milwaukee Brewers? You get that question right at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And you're the first one to get it right that calls in and Cal picks up your call. You will win a pair of tickets for the Brewers versus the Oakland A's on April 19th, first pitch at 6:10 that day. And with all of that business taken care of, Terry, I've missed you. It's so good to be back.
Oh, and good to have you back as well. I've missed you too, and really look forward to these segments sharing. Typically good. I have one good and one kind of story for you today.
Well, that is a thing. Let's take some of the harder, whatever order. What am I telling you what order we're going to do? Surprise me, Terry. Whatever you want to talk about in whatever order
well,
is good for me.
Let's go with this one, Maggie, because this is on everybody's mind right now. The stock market again took a dive today. Here is a personal story from a friend who is going through this whole tariff thing right now. Think it isn't going to happen to you when you order something. Listen to this story. I ordered a simple car.
Is Terry breaking up a little bit, Cal? I'm not sure if we can hear all that well. She may have broken Terry up a little bit. We're going to see if Terry can call back in, because I want to get this story from her. But I had promised you all something else, and I never got to it because we got a little distracted. Very busy afternoon here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I wanted to share with you just a brief, quick listing of Donald Trump's business history, because Donald Trump's business history is a little pathetic. So the Trump Taj Mahal, the man couldn't even make money in casinos. It was built in late 80s-ish. It was only operational for a few years before he filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 1991. The Trump Plaza, the Trump Castle, and the Plaza Hotel, all owned by President Trump in that same period of time, they all filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 1992. THCR, which was founded by Trump in 95. Yep, they filed for bankruptcy in 2004. Trump Entertainment Resorts, the new name given to Trump Hotels and Casino Resorts, that's THCR, after its 2004 bankruptcy. Yeah, that one declared bankruptcy in 2009. It goes on. Here are the other businesses he's tanked. Trump Shuttle, launched in 89, defaulted on its loans in 1990, and was gone by 92. Trump University, founded in 2005 by Trump, ceased operations in 2011 and had a slew of lawsuits and criminal investigations. Trump Vodka, yeah, that was done in just a few years. Trump Mortgage LLC, that went up. GoTrump.com, that tanked. Trump Steaks, Trump Water. I'll stop because I think we got Terry back now, which is just lovely. Speaking of Trump and tanking economies and businesses, you were saying a thing or two about tariffs, Terry. Oh, we're still working to get Terry back. That's all right. I do have other good news for you. We got Terry, just unmute your mic and we might be good to go there if she can hear me. We got James from Milwaukee with the correct answer. Terry, just unmute your mic. We'll be good to go. James from Milwaukee with the right answer to our Brewers trivia question. I asked, which is the brewer that crossed home plate the most times in the Brewers' high-scoring, high-flying 1982 season where they won the AL pennant and went on to the World Series, to have that series ripped away from them by one bad umpire call? Yep, that was Paul Molitor. Wonderful. Here is Terry. We got it. Listen, we will solve this problem any way we can. There you are. Is that Terry? Terry, you there?
I hope I'm here. I've got a mic on and my phone now. So what do you think?
You're good to go. I just, you know, to fill in the gaps, to set the stage for your tariff story, I filled everybody in on a little bit of Donald Trump's litany of failed businesses. So now, with that in hand and in mind, tell us more about your friend who's experiencing some of the impacts of the tariffs.
Okay, this is directly from a friend by the name of Matthew, and he sent me a message saying, I ordered a guitar from Canada last week. He should have received it on Monday, did not receive it. Guess when it came through, and it had been sitting on the other side of the border. It came through on Wednesday on the big tariff day that Trump had called it. And his $100 shipping fee already paid, now he had to pay close to $300 more dollars to get his guitar all the way to his house. So, you know, this is just one small example of how we're all going to feel this. He bought a guitar from Canada.
Yeah, so more than tripling his costs for his guitar, just for the shipping. They may have, you know, cost of the good, whether it comes out in shipping or otherwise, that's where it showed up. Yeah, there was a huge run in the auto markets, for example, a big push, people buying a lot of cars before the new tariffs rolled out. I think we're going to be seeing this in basically every single type of consumer good. Some estimates that I've seen about average cost to families in the ballpark of $1,000 to up to $3,600 in additional costs. Mm. Absolutely insane. We had a texter earlier that said that she and her husband rely on Social Security and Medicaid and that they can't bear that overall cost increase. And I don't think that texter is alone in that at all. Right. Terry, thanks for your patience getting you on the line here. What else you got for us? Tell us something good now, Terry.
One thing I want to add to tag on to the tariff story. This is when you know there are still good people out there. The gentleman that sold the guitar from Canada to my friend Matt in Wisconsin, he agreed with Matt. He picked up half of the shipping costs just because he feels so bad about it. So that's kindness at the end of what's really kind of a crappy situation, you know?
A silver lining. Okay, so, people are good.
I know.
People are good.
Yes. Here's the next story. This is fun, and I know you and I both love sports. Have you heard about the Knipple family from Milwaukee?
I haven't. Tell me more.
Oh, this is fun. Sherry and Con Knipple, they were both star basketball players in college. Well, now they're the parents of five boys. Each one is having a stellar basketball career. The youngest are in like middle school. They've got a sophomore in high school. The oldest is now Kantu, they call him, Khan Jr. He is a freshman at Duke University. He happens to start every single game, and he's now leading the team as a Wisconsin boy to the Final Four with the Duke Blue Devils. So wow. What has this been like? Well, here's what Sherry and Khan, the parents, say about this experience.
Well, I've been to every single Duke game. So that's, I think Duke is 38-3, so something like that. I actually don't even know their schedule. So that's how many times I've been on a plane. And Con, I work for myself, so I have the freedom to do that.
Yeah.
But Con has been to most of the weekend ones and a few of them during, you know, Christmas break and Thanksgiving break and things like that. So, but we flew back and forth from the first round of the NCAA tournament. We flew from Raleigh to Madison to watch the boys, and then back to Raleigh. We flew all of us back and watched again. So we've been through it.
Yeah, being new to it, especially with it's our oldest, it's related to Duke, maybe that. Very happy with how they supported everything along the way. So like. Over fall break, one example would be John Shire called us just to check in with how everything was going, ask if we needed anything, which we did not expect. I don't know that we needed it, but it was just great for the head coach to do that. And then just the support that Duke gives the student athletes all along the way. I mean, you always hear about that stuff, but being able to experience it and live it with Khan too, it's been pretty fun.
Isn't that a great story?
It's just lovely. Now, I will have to admit to you, while I will certainly root for Khan too, because he's playing for Duke, as a Badger alumni, I will never get over the crappily refereed game between Duke and the Badgers in the men's Final Four. Oh, yay, now about 10 years ago, that absolutely robbed the Badgers of our opportunity to get to the finals.
I don't think any of us will ever forget that.
Not getting over it.
And the only reason I know. The only reason I'm cheering for Duke now is because of Khan, too, and then he's from Wisconsin. I think that's so exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had the radio on, was listening to a little sports radio on my way to the station this afternoon, and one of the commentators, and I'm not going to endorse this, called it, what did he call it, the snore Final Four for the men.
Ooh.
Because it's the four number one seeds out of each of the regions. I have always enjoyed college basketball, and it's neat. You got both the women's Final Four and men's Final Four. And I've always been a huge fan of Coach Dawn out of South Carolina and the Gamecocks. So I'll be watching that women's Final Four game between the South Carolina Gamecocks and the Texas Longhorns, especially. And then, of course, you got both Duke and UConn, the perennial favorites in college basketball.
Right.
UConn for the women in the women's Final Four, and then, of course, Duke in the men. So college hoops, always entertaining to me. Are you going to be watching this weekend a bit, Terry?
Oh. Absolutely. And I have to tell you something else about the Knipple family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, five sons, they all play. Son two is the one that's a sophomore in high school. He already has his first D1 offer to play in Toledo.
Wow.
But the family thinks he's probably going to get an offer from Duke to be able to go play with his brother.
They're holding out. Isn't
that
good for the Knipples? That's wonderful. Go Con 2. I won't say go Blue Devils. I'll just go Con 2. Have a great, great Final Four. All right, I got one quick question for you, Terry. Do you put your TP over the top, or are you like it's served up from the bottom?
It is over the top, Maggie.
I love it. Me too. We're on the over the top club. That is Terry Barr, my colleague here at Civic Media. She's here with me every Friday at 3:30 for a little bit of something good here in Wisconsin. Thanks so much, Terry. Have a beautiful weekend. Enjoy the tournament. Everybody, I'll be back for some final thoughts on this Friday afternoon, sending you off onto the weekend. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah.
something.